It's more important than ever these days to stretch your budget further. But how do you get the most bang for your buck? Hi, I'm Rob West. Saving a dollar here and there is great, don't get me wrong, but you may need inflation fighters that give bigger, quicker results. I've got a bunch of them for you, so we'll talk about that today, and then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is MoneyWise and American Family Radio, biblical wisdom for your financial journey. Inflation is attacking everyone's budget, so we're all in the same boat. In times like these, it's helpful to put things in perspective. We should always be looking for ways to save money and be faithful stewards of what God has given us. The Bible doesn't tell us to do that only when times are tough. Proverbs is often our go-to book for wisdom on saving. Proverbs 21:20 reads, "Precious treasure and oil are in a wise man's dwelling, but a foolish man devours it." And Proverbs 10:4 tells us, "A slack hand causes poverty, but the hand of the diligent makes rich." There are only so many hours in the day, so let's concentrate on a few money-saving ideas that will pay off the most. Number one is no surprise, and it's probably the biggest thing you can do to save money, and that's to avoid debt. And if you're in debt, get out of it as quickly as you can. Stop using credit cards unless you pay off the balance each month. Pay down what you owe. Use the snowball method that we've talked about so much before. Start with the smallest debt. When that's paid off, move on to the next, and so on. If you're paying thousands of dollars a year in interest on credit cards, imagine how that could beef up your emergency fund or earn in a retirement account. Put your money to work for you rather than you working for it. Okay, the next idea isn't new either, but a few of you haven't gotten around to it yet, and you know who you are. That is, automate your savings. Have part of every paycheck transferred automatically into savings. Do that first to build up your emergency fund, and then when that's fully funded with 3 to 6 months living expenses, start putting that money into a qualified retirement plan like a 401k or IRA. If you rely on yourself to do it manually, it probably won't happen. Now, this next one is a terrific money-saving idea, but how many people actually do it? It's to put away something from any paycheck increases or tax refunds you get. Actually, I'd say bank at least half of your raises and all of your tax refund. And by the way, you really shouldn't be getting much of a refund at all. That's just giving Uncle Sam interest-free use of your money when you could be putting it to better use yourself. So adjust your withholdings to get as close to zero as possible. Here's another money-saving idea that's not so obvious, and a lot of folks may not even see the connection with money, but there is one. It's simply take care of yourself. Stay healthy. Eat a well-balanced diet, exercise, and get plenty of sleep. Watch your weight. Why? Because healthcare is expensive. No matter what kind of plan you have, the less healthcare you use, the less you'll pay in deductibles and the more you save. Studies show that if you're overweight and out of shape, on average, you'll spend more on healthcare in your later years. The next one is a guaranteed way to be able to save more. It's make more. Take a side job or put in extra hours at work, or think outside the box. Maybe you can drive for Uber or Lyft or rent out a room through Airbnb. If you just work 10 hours a week at $12 an hour, it adds up to more than $6,000 a year, more than wiping out the effects of inflation. Now, for this next one, let me ask you, is your time worth $100 or maybe $200 an hour? Unless you're a brain surgeon, probably not. But that's what you can save by spending an hour or two on the phone every year with your monthly creditors like home, auto, and health insurance companies, and your smartphone, internet, and cable providers, even your credit card companies. Go over your plans with a customer service rep to make sure you're paying as little as possible for the product or service you need. Do this especially if you have automatic renewal. They may have added items you don't want or need. This last money-saving idea is for those who haven't completed the first one yet, get out of debt. And it's a bit more difficult in times of rising interest rates, but an annual call to your credit card issuer to ask for a lower rate could result in saving hundreds of dollars a year. All right, I hope you found that helpful. Your calls are next, 800-525-7000. I'm Rob West, and we'll be right back to help you apply God's wisdom to your finances. Stick around.
This is the time where we all better be on our knees in front of our windows, where we better have the boldness to stand on the truth of God's word, where our allegiance better be to Him. Listen, He alone has an enduring kingdom. He alone makes promises and keeps them. God alone, nobody else.
Airing the Addisons, weekday afternoons at 2 Central on American Family Radio.
Hi, I'm Mark Harrington, founder of the pro-life group Created Equal and host of Activist Radio, The Mark Harrington Show. Created Equal is all about saving the lives of unborn children. Each week, I cover the latest pro-life news and feature interviews with unsung heroes from across the nation who are making a difference for the cause of life, liberty, and justice. Join me every Sunday afternoon at 5:30 for The Mark Harrington Show here on American Family Radio and discover how you, too, can help protect the lives of the most innocent among us.
If you're investing for retirement or any other goal, you may be wondering if it's possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind no matter what's happening in the market. Sound Mind Investing has a short video webinar on that topic at soundmindinvesting.org. SMI has helped tens of thousands of Christians learn to be wise and faithful stewards in the area of investing. Profit and peace of mind no matter what's happening in the market at soundmindinvesting.org.
You feel like you're fighting a daily battle against your boss or your teen or that stack of unpaid bills? Well, there is a war going on, and it's much bigger than you can imagine. This week on Pathway to Victory, Dr. Robert Jeffress explains how to protect yourself against Satan's attacks by putting on the armor of God. Listen all this week to Pathway to Victory.
Weekday mornings at 6 Central on American Family Radio.
Absolutely free. We know you've learned to be suspicious of those words, but really, you can get biblical financial wisdom delivered to your inbox absolutely free. Articles, videos, podcasts, and special offers on biblical resources. More than 50,000 people receive our free weekly wisdom email, and you can too. Create your free MoneyWise account by going to moneywise.org and click sign up to begin receiving weekly wisdom in your inbox.
If the heavy burden of debt is robbing you of freedom and peace of mind, Christian Credit Counselors can help. We're a nationwide nonprofit credit counseling organization that has helped over 300,000 individuals in the last 27 years get out of credit card debt 80% faster while honoring that debt in full. To learn how Christian Credit Counselors can help you, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985.
Great to have you with us today on MoneyWise on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. Hey, we're taking your calls and questions on anything financial. The number to call is 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. We'd love to hear from you with whatever is on your mind today, financially speaking, so we can help you move forward with confidence. You see, each day we gather together to talk about handling God's money. Now, why would we dedicate time each day to talk about money? Well, it's not so we can enrich ourselves. It's so we can understand our significant role as stewards of God's resources. You see, He's the owner of everything. That makes us the money manager of His resources with whatever is entrusted to us from whatever source. And as we approach our financial decisions and choices from that lens, well, it changes everything. In fact, every spending decision, in fact, becomes a spiritual decision. Now, that doesn't mean we can't enjoy it. In fact, 1 Timothy says we should enjoy what He's given to us. But it it does mean that we need to live with contentment, and we need to be on our knees saying, Lord, what lifestyle have you called me to? How much is enough? I don't want to just follow the patterns of this world, which could allow us to try to redeem greed in the name of the American dream. That's not the goal. The goal is to find God's heart with his resources so we can be found faithful as a steward, as we hold what he has loosely and we surrender to him, recognizing he's all about our hearts. He doesn't need our money. He owns the cattle on a thousand hills. But here's the reality. The way we handle money is, I'd like to say, the training ground of the heart. It's one of the places where we can most tangibly see the evidence of what we're working out in our spiritual lives. Where do we place our trust? Do we have fear or faith in the future? Are we spending our resources, allocating in a way that aligns with our values and our priorities? And if not, what changes do we need to make? You know, so often we set goals taking cues from the world, maybe slipping into the comparison trap, looking at others and determining what our lifestyle needs to be, when in fact we should say, God, what's your heart for me? That doesn't mean we need to sell everything, although he may challenge us at times to do just that, or at least to give lavishly. Well, we can't answer those questions until we're on our knees saying, Lord, what would you have me to do? So each day we gather together here to find God's heart as it relates to our money, but for very practical decisions like organizing your spending, as we started today in light of these inflationary times. How do we do that? What does it look like to control the flow of money and give every dollar a name so that it's going ultimately where we want it to go? What about our savings? How much is enough for our savings in the short term, medium term, and long term? What about our giving? How does that fit in to the equation? And what about during challenging times? We'll certainly all have those along the way. How do we think about our giving in those times? And then what about debt? You know, borrowing is not a sin, but there are clear warnings throughout Scripture about the use of debt, and we need to make sure that we're using in a way that's wise, including only borrowing, if at all possible, for appreciating assets, having spousal unity when we borrow, making sure that we're not denying God an opportunity to intervene. There's just a host of things, I think, to consider as we think about handling God's money. But if we take these unlimited financial choices and we reduce it to really four categories, that which we live on, that which we give, that which we owe, and that which we grow or save for the future, it begins to simplify our financial life. And then we can go back to God's word and say, okay, what does God's word say related to this particular area, and how can I apply that to what I'm dealing with right now? Well, we'd love to help you do that. Phone lines are open. Pat's standing by to take your calls. We'll try to get you on the air quickly. You can even call anonymously if you want. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. Let's head to those phones. Mississippi, Francis, thank you for calling. Go right ahead.
Good morning, and God bless you.
Thank you, ma'am.
I have a question. I have a new great-grandchild, 4 weeks old. How can I invest some money for him without the parents or anyone be able to touch it? I'm serious.
I understand. I don't mean to make light of it. I completely understand.
But am I allowed to, how much am I allowed to give that child, even if it's per year, you know?
Yes. Yeah. Well, a couple of thoughts, Francis. First of all, congratulations on that new great-grandchild. I suspect you are delighted. That's a blessing from the Lord. And I'm thrilled that you're already thinking about being able to set something aside that you can use to bless this grandchild at some point down the road. A couple of thoughts. First is defining the purpose of this money, and then second, the control of the money. You've already said that you want to be in control of it, but let's go back to the purpose first. Do you want to earmark this money, let's say, for particularly for college, or do you want it to be more widely available?
Widely available, but
okay.
No.
Okay.
Not really.
All right, that's fine. Yeah, so that takes out a 529 college savings plan, which is fine. If you were going to earmark it for college, I would have said that would have been the type of account to use. But if not, let's look at an alternate approach. Another approach would be a custodial account where it's in your name, but it's for the benefit of the child, and you're the custodian. And the only challenge with that type of account, Francis, is at the age of majority in the child's state, it would become their asset. So typically at age 18, whatever has accumulated would automatically be theirs. And if they're making poor choices at that point and want to spend it on a sports car, they'd be able to do that. Do you want it to automatically go to the child, or do you want to be able to decide the time and the place to give the money out of the assets that have been accumulated?
I want to be able to do that, yes.
Okay, yeah, very good. So then
he will get it. Mm-hmm.
Yes, good. So what I think the best thing to do would be to set up basically what would be a taxable account in your name. And you would make it separate so you could make sure that you know, the amount of money that goes in there is under your control and it's only given to the child at the time and place of your choosing. Now, you have the ability to give up to $16,000 a year without having to tell the IRS anything. That's an annual gift exclusion that you're able to make. If it goes over $16,000, that's okay. There's still no taxes due on that gift. You would just have to file IRS Form 709 to let the IRS know. And any amount over $16,000 a year that's given to the child would come off of your lifetime gift exclusion, which is $12 million. So you're probably not going to reach that threshold. It's really just a reporting issue at that point. So really what I would think about doing is opening a brokerage account in your name and start putting the money in, whether you want to do that systematically, a little bit every month or one time or both. And then I want you to think about how you want it invested, if at all. And that's really going to come down to the time horizon on this money. So if this is money you think you want to accumulate and allow it to grow over the next 5 years or more, then I would say let's think about investing it if you're comfortable with that. If you want the ability to give it to the child in less than 5 years, you probably don't want to invest it at that point. Tell me what you think the right time horizon is for actually giving the money to the child.
I really don't know. I haven't, you know, decided yet exactly which way to go.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, it's a baby at this point, so it's probably not going to be anytime soon. Let's do this. You hold the line. I'm going to take a quick break, and on the other side, we'll finish up and make some decisions about how you can move forward from here. We'll be right back.
On American Family Radio, hi, I'm Barry McGuire. I'm a layman here to remind you that faith sharing is a barometer for your spiritual health. One of the factors attributed to highly successful people is a simple principle. They start before they feel ready. While everyone else is coming up with a reason for why the time isn't right, they just do it. Jesus said, go into all the world and proclaim the gospel, the good news. And the way he proposed that you do that is highly unconventional. Love your neighbor as much as you love yourself. Wow, talk about a radical idea. And Jesus sets before you the privilege to be his ambassador to a lost world. To show them and tell them that God loves them as much as he's ever loved anyone. Intentional faith sharing is the most exciting, the most adventurous thing you'll ever do. Ready or not, the time is now. Just do it. If you need help sharing your faith, go to igniteamerica.com.
Siri, open my food delivery app.
Before you order in again, are you sure that's in your budget?
What budget?
Exactly. You need the free MoneyWise app. With its electronic envelope budgeting system, you'll know exactly where every dollar is going, and you can finally stay on top of your money.
I guess that does sound like a pretty good idea. Siri, download the MoneyWise app.
Okay. Searching for MoneyWise in the App Store. Learn more at moneywise.org.
Christian Healthcare Ministries enables believers to show love for one another by sharing each other's health costs. Through CHM's voluntary health cost-sharing programs, members uplift each other spiritually and financially. CHM is an eligible option under the Affordable Care Act and a Better Business Bureau accredited charity. Interested? Learn more by calling 800-791-6225 or online at chministries.org.
Here at the AFA Foundation, we help families just like yours shore up permanent income for their retirement years through our charitable gift annuities.
Chelsea Wildman.
We would love to work with you to see if a charitable gift annuity is right for your situation.
Call 800-326-4543, extension 345. That's 800-326-4543, extension 345.
Why not reach out to the AFA Foundation team today?
How should we as Christians think about investing? What if we could invest our money in a way that aligns with what we believe? At Eventide, we believe it is possible to love God and love our neighbor in the very practice of investing. We design investments for performance and a better world so you can invest for the future with a sense of wholeness and purpose. We call this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at investeventide.com.
Thanks for joining us today on MoneyWise on American Family Radio. We're taking your calls and questions today on anything financial. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. We have lines open. We'd love to hear from you. 800-525-7000. Just before the break, we were talking to Frances. Frances has a new great-grandchild. She'd like to start putting some money away for that child with her in her name, so she has control over it, but where it's earmarked for that great-grandchild in the future. And Frances, we determined we don't want to set it aside for college, so we want to put it in a taxable account. We don't want it to automatically become the child's asset at the age of majority, so we probably need to keep it in your name. And then we said the time horizon, maybe 5 years or more, but maybe not. And so I think from that standpoint, I would probably just open, could be a high yield savings account where you would just start, you know, parking money there. If you wanted to get it invested and you have at least a 1 year time horizon, which given the age of the child, it sounds like you certainly do, you could use what are called I bonds. These are inflation bonds by the U.S. government. They have basically zero risk because they're backed by the U.S. government and they're paying right now 9.62%. And you can put in up to $10,000 a year. So you could go to treasurydirect.gov, open an account in your name. You can establish the child as the beneficiary on that account. So if you were to pass away, that automatically goes to the child. And then you would put the money, however much you want, into the I bonds, and you'd get a great rate of return over the next year. And when those aren't paying as much as they are now, as inflation comes down a year or two from now, then you could move it into something else. But that would at least get you a place to start putting this money, get it working for you, but where it's under your control, and it would only automatically pass to the child at your death. How does that sound?
Well, it sounds great. I am getting on up there. So, you know, that's the only thing that makes me fearful. I do not want, the baby's only 4 weeks old, but yeah. I do not want the parents to ever be able to touch it.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, so that's the only thing, but I think that's a terrific idea. I've already thought about that one. So,
okay.
Great.
Yeah, very good. Well, I think the only thing there is, you know, you can establish in your will as well, you know, how you want this passed, and then the executor would make the decision. Obviously, with a trust, you could have even more control over this money and when it passes and under what conditions, and it could, you know, never go through the parents' hands. The challenge is with a trust, it's probably $1,200 or $1,500 to set it up. And, you know, depending on how much you're looking to put away, you know, that may or may not, that may be counterproductive just in terms of really eating into a lot of the money that you actually wanted to get to the child at some point. Do you understand?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
How much were you thinking of gifting to the child, let's say, you know, over the next 10 years?
Well, maybe the maximum that they allow, you know, without getting into tax.
Well, you would never pay tax. It would just have to be reported. So do you think you may want to give as much as $16,000 this year and keep doing that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, if
you're planning on doing that, Francis, then it may make some sense given how specific you want to be about the controlling these assets, even beyond your life. It may make some sense for you to, put it into a trust. I mean, obviously you can leave it directly to the child in a will and the parents won't be able to touch it. But a trust would actually allow a trustee to be named, and that trustee can only distribute the assets, based on the directives of the trust itself, which could be the child reaches a certain age, you know, any number of factors. So I might talk to an estate planning attorney, and if you need one, you could contact a certified kingdom advisor on our website at moneywise.org and ask for a referral to a godly estate planning attorney. But they could draft a trust for you for probably less than $1,500, and you could be very specific about how this money is handled, under what conditions it's passed to the child, and then you would know as you contribute to it $16,000 a year or more that money is only going to be released under the conditions that you have set, even if you pass away and that child is still a minor. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes. Uh-huh.
Okay. Very good.
You've given me a lot of great things to think about and pray
good.
About. By the way, I've already prayed before he was born that he would be a fabulous, godly man, and be saved at a young age.
Yes,
that's
ma'am.
The number one. So he's already been prayed for, and keeps being prayed for. So thank you so much. I appreciate you all. You're just fabulous, and you're the kindest, most thoughtful man, and I appreciate you.
Well, Francis, I appreciate you as well. You are a wonderful, godly, great-grandmother. This child is blessed to have you, and it was my privilege to talk to you this morning. God bless you. 800-525-7000. We've got some lines open. We'd love to hear from you today. We'll take another break here in just a second. Before we do, a quick email. This one says, my boyfriend was let go from work last year. Naomi writes to us with this. He has credit card debt and college debt. I'm debt-free. I've been saving for buying a house. We may get married in the next year. Should I use the money I've been saving for a house to pay off his debt, or should I just keep saving and let him pay it off as he goes? And I would say, Naomi, absolutely not. You hold on to that money and keep saving. If the Lord should lead you all to marry, that's great. When you get married, at that point, two become one and you would join your finances. Until then, absolutely not. Sounds like you're being very wise with your money. I want you to continue doing that, reinforce that with him, and I want him to do the hard work to live within his income and get those debts paid off. I would direct him to ChristianCreditCounselors.org to get those interest rates down. But you all need to do a good bit of talking before you get engaged, or certainly before you get married, about kind of how you're going to handle your money as you combine it, what lifestyle has God called you to, how was money handled growing up? Are you spenders or savers? And you all need to really put all of this under the Lordship of Christ, but don't combine anything or start paying off his debts until you all are married. And then you look at it as your assets and liabilities together, but not until then. Thanks for your email. We'll be right back. 800-525-7000.
You probably have a strategy for your finances, your career, even your retirement. But do you have a strategy for your giving? At the National Christian Foundation, we can help you create a giving strategy to inspire your family, maximize your resources, and leave a lasting legacy of faith. To learn how, visit moneywise.org/NCF.
AFA is no longer dependent on Facebook or YouTube to live stream our original programming. As of now, American Family Radio shows like Today's Issues, The Core, Airing the Addisons, and The Hamilton Corner are streaming live on the AFA streaming app. Independent live streaming is the next step as we come out from among them and separate ourselves unto the Lord. Search AFA Streaming or visit streaming.afa.net to sign up.
If you have money in a retirement account or just a general investing account, you know the stock market can sometimes be like a roller coaster. But it is possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind in investing, no matter what's happening in the market. You can see a short video webinar on that topic at soundmindinvesting.org. Since 1990, Sound Mind Investing has sought to offer financial wisdom for living well. soundmindinvesting.org.
At MoneyWise, we are on a mission to educate, equip, and connect you and many others with the powerful financial answers found in God's Word through national radio programs, our app, website, and other resources. If you've benefited from MoneyWise and believe in this mission, would you consider becoming a monthly MoneyWise patron? Check out all the benefits of a MoneyWise patron's membership at moneywise.org and click Give on the homepage.
AFR programming is now available on Alexa.
You're joking, right?
Nope, not joking.
Seriously?
Yep, this is not a drill.
Wait a minute, no way.
There's a way, the Alexa way. So if you just happen to miss your favorite shows, no worries. You can now listen to each podcast with Alexa. It's simple and it's free. Just visit afr.net/apps and click Alexa. We're not joking.
Christian Healthcare Ministries enables believers to meet their healthcare costs affordably, biblically, and compassionately. It's not insurance, but a voluntary cost-sharing ministry based on the biblical example of Christians sharing each other's needs. And members aren't fined under the law for not having health insurance. Christian Healthcare Ministries might be your health cost solution. Call 800-791-6225 or visit chministries.org.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Delighted to have you with us today on MoneyWise on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West, your host, taking your calls and questions today on anything financial. 800-525-7000. You can call right now. We'd love to chat with you. 800-525-7000. You know, the MoneyWise app could help with many of today's inflation fighters that we mentioned at the start of the program. It'll help you create a plan to pay your bills and pay off debt, automate your savings, and set many other money goals. The app lets you choose from three budgeting options depending upon your management style, and it's available for both desktop and mobile. All of this is conveniently located in one place. Plus, if you need biblical advice, and who doesn't, it's always available to you in the Learn tab of the app. You can post questions in our MoneyWise community and get responses from other stewards and our MoneyWise coaches. You'll also see in our Learn tab all the best content in biblical finance aggregated from across the country into one place, so you can get the very best podcasts and articles and videos to be able to grow in your understanding of handling money God's way. So pick up the MoneyWise app today wherever you get your apps. Just search for MoneyWise Biblical Finance. That's in your app store, MoneyWise Biblical Finance. All right, we began today by talking about inflation. And by the way, we'll be heading to the phones again here in just a moment, 800-525-7000. If we want to go to talk about some practical ways to respond to the current financial realities, here's a couple of additional thoughts for you. First, don't panic. You know, here's the reality, folks. You can't control the economy. So take charge of what you can control. Adjust your spending. Add income if you can. Put off major purchases. And absolutely, with interest rates rising in particular, avoid adding to your consumer debt. If monthly debt payments are high, I'd really love for you to talk to a consumer credit specialist about getting on a debt management program. I've mentioned before that we recommend ChristianCreditCounselors.org. By all means, though, avoid debt consolidation loans because they really only treat the symptom. They're not going to address the cause for the overspending. I don't like replacing debt with new debt. Let's stay with what you've got. Let's get those interest rates down and get that paid off once and for all. But let's correct the behaviors that led to the debt in the first place along the way. All right, thirdly, adjust your spending plan. You know, you need to track your income and expenses carefully and realistically and make make adjustments to take higher costs into account. We're certainly seeing it at the pump, although we've gotten a bit of a reprieve as of late, but food prices through the roof and so many other areas as well. And that's where, again, the MoneyWise app can really help with that. If you have an emergency fund set aside, now could be the time to dip into that. But really, folks, only use this as a last resort. And I would commit to refunding your emergency account as soon as you possibly can. This next one is what I often see happen, and that is don't stop your giving. You know, so often when we get into a tight financial spot like we are right now with costs up, the average American family spending nearly in excess now of $500 a month, $6,000 a year more, you know, we often will quickly eliminate our giving category. Don't do that. A generous attitude really demonstrates that you recognize God's ownership of everything. Generosity is also an opportunity to lean on God's provision. Besides, there are certainly people out there worse off than you and I are, so why not take this opportunity to help the less fortunate and obviously continue to support the work of the local church? And then finally, the Bible assures us that we can trust in the Lord. So that's my last and most important suggestion for navigating a tight financial time. Trust that God has a plan for you and your family. Go to the Lord with your concerns and needs. Invite Him into your financial life. So often we miss that. And I believe He will provide what you need when you put your faith and hope in Him. May not happen the way you envision. May not happen in your timing. The late Larry Burkett was fond of saying, God is never late, but seldom early. And I've certainly experienced that as well. So, hey, visit us at MoneyWise.org for more information about all of these topics. Plug into the MoneyWise community to get answers to your questions. Download the MoneyWise app. We want to be here to help and encourage you in your financial journey and to do it with a biblical perspective at the core. All right, the calls are mounting, and so we're going to head to the phones. We do have a couple of lines open. 800-525-7000 is the number to call to get in on the conversation today. To Ohio we go. Stephanie, thanks for calling. Go right ahead.
A little bit of advice. I want to do, I'll just preface this with, I want to do this out of the kindness of my heart, but I also don't want to be taken advantage of. So I need a little bit of guidance.
Okay.
I am a registered nurse and I work at home. One day a week I go into the office, but I have had my grandmother. She's 98 years old. She is my father's. When my mom was pregnant for me, she was my dad was killed, and has since we've been blessed with a stepdad and he's my dad. But anyways. We've had a wonderful family life, but as grandma has gotten older, I've always gone back and forth with her, and she was living in a home, and then subsequently went to an apartment, and I would go and see her. She lived about an hour and a half away from me. I'd see her weekly, check on her, go get groceries, things like that, help take care of things. I found out she was being taken advantage of, so I helped her with her bills. So people would, I'm not her POA, she has two daughters, my aunt, and that kind of puts me in a predicament because my dad's gone and I'm the granddaughter. But anyways, she moved up with me. She was supposed to be, the time was going to be divided, but it didn't turn out to be like that. And so she is with me full time, which is great. And I want to do that for her. I love having her here. She's in her right mind. She's other than slowing down because she's 98 and our bodies slow down, she does very well. My question is she was paying me $500 for being here with us for the month.
Yeah.
And I didn't do it for the money. However, she does have money in the bank account. She didn't have a lot. But when my aunts would take her to visit, she would give them the same amount of money for maybe a 2 or 3 day stay. Unfortunately, after a year of time and knowing this and knowing that she had been taken advantage of before by them, I was starting to get resentful and I don't want to be like that. I don't.
Yeah.
And so my question is, in order to make it fair, I was trying to think of, maybe how could I go about just saying, hey, I've talked to her about it, and she's open to this, but being fair about, paying our bills and dividing them between, you know, my husband and I and her, and then it just for like a mortgage and living expenses here, not other things that we have to pay for, and not taking money for taking care of her, for, you know, because I want to just be the granddaughter. That,
sure.
You know, it's a blessing to me to have her here and
yes.
love on her. So yeah. I don't want to be paid for that, but even though I am a nurse, you know, I take yeah. care of a lot of things for her.
Sure.
So, I mean,
yeah.
I just kind of wanted some biblical, advice, affirmation, what I should do.
Yeah, very good. Let's do this, Stephanie. I hate to ask you to hold, but I've got to take a quick break. But when we come back, I'd love to give you my thoughts on this. So delighted that you are caring for her in this way. You obviously have a heart for that. It's something the Lord is using you in, and I appreciate your desire to do it in a way that's right and above board. So let's talk about how you can do that just around the corner. We'll be right back on MoneyWise. Stay with us.
Washington Watch advances a culture where human life is valued and religious liberty thrives.
Hello, this is Tony Perkins, host of Washington Watch, right here on the American Family Radio Network, inviting you to join us each weekend for the weekend edition of Washington Watch for the latest from our nation's capital on what is happening as it pertains to faith, family, and freedom. You'll hear from policymakers, congressional leaders, and others each day, 4 p.m. Central Time. Be there.
To sharpen the biblical worldview of Christians and to share the good news of Jesus Christ. That is the mission of the Christian Worldview Radio program. I'm host David Wheaton, inviting you to join us this Saturday morning at 9 Eastern, 8 Central, as we discuss all matters of life and faith from a decidedly biblical perspective. The Christian Worldview, Saturday mornings at 9 Eastern, 8 Central, right here on American Family Radio.
45,000. That's how many times MoneyWise referred a listener to a Certified Kingdom Advisor, or CKA, last year. And for good reason. These are trusted financial, legal, and accounting professionals who have completed a rigorous certification program to ensure they provide biblically wise financial advice. You can find a local CKA professional in your area by going to moneywise.org and clicking the Find a CKA button on the homepage.
Investing is more than just returns. It's an expression of who you are and what you value. Does the way you invest your money reflect your identity as a Christian? At Eventide, we design investments for performance and a better world, so you can invest with the confidence to reach your financial goals while remaining true to your Christian values and commitments. We call this investing that makes the world rejoice. More is available at investeventide.com. That's investeventide.com.
Great to have you with us today on MoneyWise on American Family Radio. For our final segment of the broadcast today, we have a line or two open, 800-525-7000. Lois in Arkansas, we're coming your way in just a moment. Before the break, we were talking to Stephanie. She has recently moved her grandmother in with her. She is not the power of attorney, but she is a registered nurse and is providing some care. She wants to do that just to bless her grandmother, who she loves dearly, and is really trying to think about how to navigate the financial side of offsetting some of the expenses that she's incurring, actual costs for her care in living in their home, but also just given, you know, the complexities of aunts that are involved, and even in some cases in the past where she was taken advantage of. How does she navigate all of that? And Stephanie, I appreciate the background that you shared. A couple of questions. Number one is, do you feel like the money that was given to other parties that perhaps was not done in the right way, and maybe she was being taken advantage of, is that continuing or is that all in the past?
No, it continues when she goes to stay with them, but it has been brought to light, and maybe they'll maybe they'll realize that that's, you don't do that.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah, hope so, right?
It.
So monitor, you know, that one. Obviously, any of these issues that involve family members get, you know, pretty sticky, and we want to try to preserve the relationship. And yet, at some point, you may need to step in and call it out even more appropriately, just to make sure that, you know, it doesn't continue if, in fact, she is being taken advantage of. Were you going to say something else on that piece of it?
No. Okay.
All right. So I think we let that one go for now. As to how you might think about the expenses that you would ask her to offset, you said she's been doing $500 a month. That's continuing, I'm assuming. And do you feel like you want to ask for a bit more than that as you've gone in and calculated what the actual expenses are?
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
So
but I just
here's the.
I want to make it more for like my care, you know.
Sure.
My care,
yeah. Yeah.
I want to do it out of the goodness of my, you know, just do it because I want to do it. It's.
I
not,
totally
I,
get
so
that.
I was.
Yeah, absolutely. So here's the way I would think about that, and this doesn't mean it's the right way, but it's just one thought, is I would think about, you know, what are the actual expenses that you are incurring as you care for her? Again, not your time as a nurse, because you want to give her that as a gift, but the actual household expenses. If you haven't moved in order to bring her in with you, then you would be covering your mortgage anyway for your family. So you may want to consider not including that. But as you go in and look at you know, what are the utilities and, you know, what are the food costs, and really do a thoughtful kind of analysis back of the envelope on what it actually takes for you all to care for her and, you know, provide for her in your home. I think that would be a great starting point to be able to say, you know, we've thought through this and here's what that actual cost is. And I'm sure she'd be delighted to see that. And then the key would be there to sit down and just really clearly communicate what that is. What are your thoughts on that piece of it though?
No, I think that that's kind of what I've really just been struggling with this, and I've prayed about it, and it just kind of has come to a head. Yeah. And we had talked about that, and before I put anything down, you know, I told her maybe we could put this down in writing, and she's very agreeable to it, and she's just so appreciative to, you know, be here, and she wants to be fair too. I mean,
yeah,
and she's very good about that.
Yeah, and
you
I think
know,
that's
I mean,
key.
She has her own room with a bathroom, you know, so it's kind of like it is an assisted living type thing for her, because we had an extra, we just, you know, rearranged things.
Yeah. Well, however, I would think through the rationale. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Help it. Well, I was just kind of concerned, like, if I had that wrote up and put on, and her and I signed it with a note or a, with a notary. Would that at least cover me? I mean, I don't want people thinking, you know, coming back. I don't, there's a lot of craziness, and I don't want people coming back and saying I'm stealing money from her. But, you know, it obviously is, you know, like when she lived at her apartment, she had to pay for that.
Sure.
You know,
yeah,
I
no, I think, I mean, nobody could really fault you if they were being reasonable for what you're saying here, given the care that you're providing that you don't want to charge for, and given that you're basically just allocating actual costs, if that's the approach you take. And I think absolutely not only communicating that clearly, but documenting that in writing. So somebody says, well, you know, that's what you're saying, but I don't know that that happened. I think spelling that out, the rationale behind it, what the agreed amount is, you all both signing on it. If you want to take the extra step of a notary, that I think certainly is a good thing to do, and obviously date it. And that would, you know, folks would know that she's in, you know, has a clear mind and can make these decisions at this point. I think the other step would just be, do you want to share that with other family members? Just so you say, hey, I want you to know what we're doing and why, just so this is being done kind of in plain sight. Or given some of the history there, if you'd rather not, I think you're fully justified to do what you're doing. And the key part of it is not necessarily sharing it with others, but it's really about documenting. It. So I think you're on the right track. I'm affirming all of what you're thinking here, and I think you're certainly pleasing the Lord in the way you're approaching this. So I say just continue on. The only other piece I would just throw out is at some point, especially given that she's living with you, it may make sense for you to be that POA, and you may want to talk to her about that. I realize that may ruffle some feathers, but that probably is the better option just given the living arrangement, but you're going to have to make that call. But apart from that, I like this plan, Stephanie. So we appreciate your call today. All right.
Well, I cannot thank you enough for your ministry. And thank you. I just thank you for blessing me today.
Well, delighted to do it. And thanks for serving your grandmother so well. God bless you. To Arkansas, Lois, thanks for calling. Go right ahead.
Hello. My name is Lois, and
yes,
I wanted to ask about, hello?
Yes, go ahead.
Mm-hmm. I have a will. I'm 82 years old, and in my will, it says that my children, I have three grown children, and they will inherit equally.
Yes.
Well, I have also, two of my children have children. One of them has a daughter and the other one has two daughters. And my son has no children. He's not married and has no children. So I have an IRA that's worth about $200,000. And the rest of it, the three grown children will wind up with I have an insurance policy in which they will get $200,000 when I die, and they will share about $800,000, so they will get $466,000 if it stays where it is. Anyway, yes, they will be taken care of.
Sure.
I wanted to know the best way to provide for my grandchildren, and my thought was, if it's legal, I don't know, that's why I'm calling you, is to either put my their parents, my two daughters, and to be fair, I think I should put my son, who has no children, on the IRA, divide it into fourths, and give each my children a fourth of it, and one will get a half of it, the one who has the two grandchildren, and then I want them to, because I don't, well, maybe I could put my grandchildren on there. I don't know. But I don't think they would be able to handle it. I don't know.
Yeah.
One's only 14.
Sure. Yeah, let's talk about that for a second. Because you can name, if you specifically want to give the money from the IRA to the grandchildren and not the parents, because as you said, your children, their parents, your grandchildren's parents are already provided for with the other assets, and that's being handled by your will. The IRA, as you, I think, know, does allow you to name beneficiaries and divide the percentage the way you want among those beneficiaries, and that will pass directly to those beneficiaries outside of the probate process at your death. And so you could name those children, those grandchildren, as the beneficiaries in whatever percentage breakdown you want. And then they would get that money in a custodial account, and then it would become their money at the age of majority, to use how they wish. The problem is, if you don't do it that way, then it's going to go to the parents, and the parents are going to have to decide how you want it handled, or how they want to distribute it. And they could choose to do, frankly, whatever they want at that point.
Well, I know they say you should never trust a human being, but I really trust them to for the best interest of their children, you know.
Okay. Yeah, but so I think you would just have to make it known to them that your intention is for it to, you know, go to the grandchildren. You can also spell that out in your will as well. But the key, I think, is if you name those beneficiaries, it's going to go to whoever, whichever beneficiaries you name, and it's going to be their asset that they control, and it's going to pass outside of probate, meaning the will is not going to be enforced related to that particular account. And then you would just have to make your wishes known to your kids about your desire that that particular asset be passed down to their kids, your grandchildren. The other approach is to handle that all through your will. So I think you could go either direction. It sounds like you have, you know, a lot of trust in them. And I think it's really just about communication and then aligning your wishes with the instruments, the will and the beneficiary designations for the IRA.
Okay, I know that if I give it to my daughters, I trust them, but then they're going to have to withdraw and give it to, you know, little by little. They wouldn't want to withdraw the whole amount because that taxes have to be paid when it's withdrawn, right?
That's right. Yep. Yeah, as an inherited IRA, taxes are paid as it's taken out, and there's a couple of ways that that has to be calculated in terms of how quickly that money has to be distributed. It will happen either usually over a 10-year period or over life expectancy, but as it comes out, taxes would be paid. So you can name whichever beneficiaries you want, and I think the key here, Lois, is just to communicate really well with your kids ahead of time so they understand and aren't surprised by what they find at your death, and then let them carry that out. Delighted to hear that you're thinking, giving such thoughtful attention to all of this. I know it pleases the Lord as we think about inheritance and doing that in a way that's wise. So God bless you, Lois. Thank you for calling today. We appreciate it. Well, folks, that's going to do it for us today. So glad to have you along as we mine the scriptures and apply God's wisdom to your financial decisions and choices. I want to say thank you to my team today, Devin Patrick, Pat Montague, and Jim Henry. Couldn't do it without them. Thank you for being here as well. I hope you have a great rest of your day and come back and join us tomorrow. Lord willing, we'll be here same time, same place. On MoneyWise, we apply God's heart to your financial decisions, and we do that together, and we're so thankful for that privilege. You have a great day, and God bless you. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.